Spirit Radio Podcasts.
You're very welcome to the Saturday magazine, Elspeth in for Jackie today. And very excited to say our next guest, Father Justin Gillespie. He will be giving an upcoming talk titled God Exists, a Statement of Faith or Fact. He also runs a weekly podcast where the recordings feature guided prayer in order to help listeners grow in faith and hope, along with a personal contemplation of Jesus in the Gospels. In the studio now to tell us more, we have Father Justin Gillespie. You're very welcome to the show, Father Justin. And well, lovely to have you here. Thanks so much for coming in. First of all, you're going to be speaking at an upcoming event on the theme God Exists, a Statement of Faith or Fact. Talk to us some more about this theme.
Right. Well, one of the things that I wanted to do with this theme, especially speaking with young adults, is to help them understand that there's an amazingly rich intellectual tradition, understanding that believing in God is not just taking a wager. It's not just a jump in the dark, but that reaching back to pre-Christian thinkers, to Aristotle, to Plotinus, going through Augustine, all the way through St. Thomas Aquinas, even to Enlightenment thinkers, even a Jewish tradition as well, people like Leibniz, that there's been a lot of thinking going along the lines that believing in God's existence is eminently reasonable. It's rational. It's something we can come to understand. That doesn't substitute faith, but it helps us understand that faith isn't based on an emotional reaction to something we're having. So to try to give people a taste of that intellectual tradition to help them strengthen their own faith.
It's so interesting and wonderful. Here you're going really to the foundations of it all. Yeah. Speaking on topics such as this and challenging discussions, it can enrich our faith, can't it?
Well, that's the idea. I think enrich it by strengthening it. Because there's a lot of things in our society and with different views, and people have completely different takes on who God is and his place in things, to help our faith not become weaker as a result of that, but actually stronger and give us that confidence, especially for young people today. That's my real focus with this.
Fantastic focus, Father Justin. And you run a podcast website as well. Could you talk to us a bit about this podcast and some of the topics that you discuss?
Sure. Well, this started out as a thing I was doing with university students where I would, for half an hour, take a gospel passage and try to guide them through prayer and try to guide them by entering into the scene, reflecting on it, helping them imagine what Jesus is saying, why, how does that apply to my life, other stories and anecdotes to reflect upon. So I just started recording this, started uploading it, and it started taking off. And people started listening, and people found it very helpful. I started getting a lot of positive feedback of people on the bus, people in their car, people at different points being able to take advantage of that. So we just kept it going. It's been going for about a year and a half doing this. So
fantastic. Yeah. Podcasts. Everybody listens to podcasts.
Well, that's the thing. It's an amazing, amazing people come on, and there's a huge hunger for different things like that. I just almost wish you could kind of provide more, but anyway, it's good.
And it's great. And it's, you're also involved with a monthly event called Spiritual Batteries.
Right. So, over the summer, we decided, well, given the experience of the podcast, to say, how could we make this live, right? So I have a wonderful team, about four young adults who are kind of my committee on this. They help and guide me and give me feedback and advice. So we decided in the parish of Our Lady Queen of Peace in Dublin on Wednesday nights, once a month, to get together and have an hour of Eucharistic adoration where I would do some of that guided prayer that I do in the podcast for the people who are there. There'd also be some music, some adoration, some worship, just prayer, right? Really get them to focus on Christ. Then afterwards, come in with this intellectual aspect, the academic, if you like, intellectual part of faith and relationship with Christ. So we've had talks, and I started off with the spirit of Socrates and his quest for knowledge and for understanding and not being conformed to dominant opinion, how to think about that. We also talked about Hannah Arendt, the great Jewish thinker who reacted against Nazism in the 20th century. And then we moved into kind of more contemporary neuroscience and the art of work and the art of focus and how that's very much of a piece with our desire to grow in virtue. And so many contemporary developments and people that are working in the space of positive psychology have huge contributions for us to understand how we can better live our Christian life. And then we had a guest last time, Father William Daly, who's a great friend of mine, who's a priest at a university church in St. Stephen's Green with a Notre Dame Newman Center of Faith and Reason. And he kind of gave a talk helping the people who were there to think about why materialism, thurial goal materialism, is really, really problematic. Mm-hmm. So you gave a fabulous talk, and people were there. We had a great turnout as well. I think we had about 75 people who were there for that. So the reaction to that combination so far has been quite positive. The ability to pray, but also the ability to be challenged intellectually and think it through. I think people have really appreciated that.
Very interesting themes that you're covering at these events. It's really sort of, you know, very relevant to today's society and for different age groups, and wonderful work you're doing. Could you talk to us about the importance of charging up our spiritual batteries?
Yeah, well, I think if we don't make a concerted effort to try, the natural course of events is we're just going to be busy. And I think that's the experience that all of us have. And busyness, almost by its very nature, leads us to a certain kind of superficiality. We stay literally on the surface of things. Mm-hmm. And that's why an effort to pray, to go deep, to pull back, to recharge the real core source of our life is not just a nice option, but I think it's absolutely necessary. And it's just kind of hard. So something like a podcast, something where you can encourage people that they pray, that's really my goal. That's what I think is something that I'm trying to do with this. I'm sure, and a lot of other people too. I mean, there's a lot of other people doing great work in this space as well. But so far, this is a contribution we're trying to do to help people charge their spiritual batteries. You know, we always kind of a very day-to-day, you know, we have a battery anxiety with our phones, you know, they start getting low, and you know, it's something we're very conscious of in a very material way, but we need to be aware of it spiritually too.
It's good to be mindful of that, I suppose, with Advent upon us
now,
you know, time to really prepare and wait and to rest and you know, put the phone down, as you say, and create the space and time to really focus on our faith and look at these things. Relating to that, I suppose, a question on faith and the youth of Ireland today. That's practical advice that you're talking about, with switching off. And how could we maybe relate that to youth, to young people in Ireland today?
Well, one of the things that I have always found very beneficial is to take them very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. Their concerns, their doubts, their confusions. But to understand that there is a real desire to understand more, to think about it, to reflect. Just as an anecdotal thing, last week before, the people who come to the event, we had a dinner at a restaurant. We got together, about 25 people showed up, 25 young adults. And we sat around, and the idea was we're going to have a nice meal, socialize, and then Q&A on the faith afterwards. So we did that. We had a meal, et cetera, and then we did the question and answer. Everyone gathered around, and we talked about how do we know which books of the Bible are scriptural. We talked about how do we know about the historicity of Jesus' presence. We talked about the grounding of the moral law. All of them started just coming out with questions. The feedback I got afterwards was, hey, Father Justin, next time can we have less eating and more questions? Like, there was more people really engaged with having to say, like, we don't really get a chance to do this as much as we'd like, you know? So I think that's something to try to create spaces and opportunities for young adults to come together and ask those sort of questions. Maybe not all of them are going to want to, but perhaps a lot more than we imagine.
That's very interesting indeed. Now, each talk has taken its own approach to theology with different topic titles.
Right, exactly. And I'm trying to keep it. And also, too, I'm getting feedback from people, like we're doing this one in December on kind of the reasonableness of saying that God exists. I'm already looking forward to January. We're going to talk about what I think is one of the big, big questions, the question of human suffering and evil. How can there be a good God who loves us and is all powerful and yet horrible things happen? Which is, it is the biggie. It's like one of the big questions. And what I'd like to do is provide some contemporary theological ways of approaching it, thinking about it. And also, too, since we only have 30 minutes, there's no way you can answer all of this, but at least you get people thinking, and then we provide links with other podcasts and bibliography that people can go off and read on their own.
It's something. It's probably a topic that you'll spend your whole life
Wrestling with. Exactly. So I still am. After many, many years, you know, you're still working on these things.
It doesn't get easier,
but we can at least explore
it and pray through it. Now, are you finding there's a hunger for this type of event amongst young people?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's a hunger that sometimes is hidden because it's maybe in a lot of context, maybe for people's context at work or in social circumstances. It's not something very safe to kind of talk about. What I mean by safe is maybe people would kind of think that you're I don't know, some sort of Christian Taliban or some sort of extremist or just the belligerence that can be out there for sometimes understandable reasons. But people want to talk about it. They just need a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And the age range, who are these talks aimed at?
So most everyone who's been coming has been under 40. So we're kind of really aiming at young adults. We have university students as well. So, yeah, but that's our focus, and that's the people who've been coming out for us.
Fantastic. So, and where can people find out more information?
So if you go to spiritualbatteries.com, we have a webpage that also links to the podcasts, which are available on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts as well. And it also has, if you check us out on Facebook, Spiritual Batteries on Facebook, it also, we have an event there for all of the activities that we have in the parish, and with the information and the links, and it's all there.
Brilliant. Well, Father Justin Gillespie, thank you so much for taking the time to come
to the
studio.
No, thank you very much.
And
my
for
pleasure.
Talking to us this morning. That's spiritualbatteries.com, and the next Spiritual Batteries event will take place at Our Lady Queen of Peace Parish on Merrion Road in Dublin on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the 5th of December, and that'll be from 7:30 till 9 p.m. Father Justin Gillespie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you're very welcome to Saturday Magazine. Elspeth Hansen in for Jackie Asco today. Lovely to have your company. And now today, the 1st of December, marks World AIDS Day. To date, millions have died across the world from this global pandemic. It may surprise you that it's estimated there are over 1,000 people living with HIV in Ireland, and that we have one of the highest rates of late diagnosis or undiagnosed cases of HIV in Western Europe. Our next guest, he has been CEO of a Christian response to AIDS and HIV-related projects for over 20 years. On the line now to tell us more, we have Richard Carson, CEO of AIDS Care Education and Training Ireland, ASSET. You are very welcome to the show, Richard. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Elspeth. Great to be here.
Lovely to have you. Now, first of all, Richard, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work of ASSET?
Yes, so ASSET has been running for over 25 years, and we've been responding to the issue of HIV in Ireland. Our work started out in the early 90s, and in some ways it was quite straightforward. People were dying from AIDS at that stage, and so our care work was very much rotated around end-of-life care as AIDS impacted their lives of many across Ireland. And our education and training work was very much centered on trying to prevent a generalized pandemic, as we call it, in Ireland taking place. Now, over the 25 years, our work has radically changed. That end-of-life care story, in some ways, is no more. The advancements in treatment for HIV have meant that it's much more a case now that people are living with HIV rather than dying from AIDS. Mm-hmm. And so our projects support people who are living with HIV in Ireland. There are still a range of challenges for them, but many of them rotate more around social themes like stigma rather than purely the medical challenge of HIV itself. And so we project supporting people that include counselling, that include respite, that include a whole range of supports for families as well. So it includes those who have been affected by the story of HIV, which may, because of the story of HIV in Ireland, intersect with the story of addiction. And some of our recent work as well has been working with faith communities in particular around themes of awareness and now testing.
Great. Could you talk to us a bit about challenging preconceptions of HIV?
Yes, there are lots of challenges or lots of preconceptions to challenge. I mean, at the very basic level, there's how HIV is transmitted, and I guess more so how HIV is not transmitted. We found in various surveys over the years that 1 in 4, 1 in 5 of Irish people would be worried about eating a meal that was prepared by somebody who was living with HIV. There's absolutely no fear at all around eating a meal that's been prepared by somebody living with HIV, but that's a fear that many people do have. And so, you know, sharing toilets, sharing a drinking cup, kissing, as I said, eating a meal that's been prepared by somebody living with HIV, all of these are completely, completely safe in terms of HIV transmission. So there's preconceptions to take down there. But also in the last couple of years, what we've seen with the treatment for HIV is another change in the story that may surprise many of your listeners. And it centers around a phenomenon called U equals U. And what U equals U means is undetectable is untransmittable. So what that means is that if a person is living with HIV and they are taking their medication, as the vast majority of those in Ireland who are living with HIV do, and their viral load is what we call undetectable, they're still living with HIV, but the amount of virus in their body is very low because they are taking something as simple as one pill a day. If that is the case, then they cannot pass the virus on to anybody else sexually.
Wow.
It is absolutely untransmittable. So we often kind of think, oh, well, the people who are going to pass it on are the people with HIV. And while that's true, it's actually not true if it's the case that their viral load is undetectable, as it is for most people who are living with HIV in Ireland. And that itself is a new thing. And it itself is a preconception that, that might surprise a lot of your listeners.
It is a surprise indeed, very important, the awareness of that indeed. Could you tell us a bit more about engaging with and receiving supports from congregations in terms of integration and also mission?
Yeah, so what we've worked with churches over the last decade or so in particular, looking a little at awareness, at how we think about HIV, how we think about people living with HIV within our congregations. There are people living with HIV across Ireland. There's actually, it's more in the case of 6,000 to 8,000 people who are living with HIV in Ireland at the moment. And, you know, across, including in our churches, there are wonderful church leaders who are living with HIV. There are worship leaders who are living with HIV, all thriving in their lives. Yet still facing many challenges around social stigma. So we look to come in and look at the awareness issues around that. We've also done a little bit of work with church leaders around their own testing, encouraging them to go for testing, and then upskilling them in how they communicate back to their congregations that they have tested for HIV and what it was and what it wasn't, and the fears you need not have about testing. So that's been part of what we've done. But what you've highlighted there is a very important part of our work, which is that when we go to bring these messages, which, as you say, challenge preconceptions, when we go to bring the testing itself, we also know that for many churches facing some of these challenges, there's deeper challenges at work as well around who they are as a church in society, around their place. Particularly, we work with multicultural and migrant-led churches, and so understanding a little of ethnicity and identity, and really trying to create spaces where we can encourage connections to take place within our communities and enhance that. We really see that as integral to something as black and white as a HIV test, which may seem a little bit strange, but faith and church life is all about those things as well, and so. One of the things we've really noticed in the last few years in Ireland is the importance of really true integration. There's a tendency in Ireland to think of integration in what we call unidirectional terms, one direction. How can we integrate them, the migrant, the other, into us, the white Irish people? And while there can be good things going on in that, we think that framework is not good. Integration is about a mutual story of mutual listening in which those of us who are host and guest get transformed in that story. And so our work when we come to people to do something as black and white as a HIV test is also about facilitating discussions around that and helping church leaders to make that integration happen.
Absolutely. True integration, as you say, very important point. The whole them versus us sort of controversy. It is just us. It should really try and encourage true integration. As you say, the importance of HIV testing. Have you anything more to say about the importance of HIV testing?
Yes, well, the figures in Ireland are that actually there's 1,000 people living with HIV in Ireland who are undiagnosed. So as I said, we think somewhere around 6,000 to 8,000 people living with HIV, but maybe over 1,000 of them today do not know that they're living with HIV. And that's quite significant for a number of reasons. One, the earlier we can put people on treatment for HIV, essentially the longer they will live. So getting onto treatment early is very important for those 1,000 people. And also, as I said before, if we put those 1,000 people on treatment on something as simple as one pill a day, their viral load can be undetectable and they will not pass the virus on to anybody else. And so that's where testing becomes very important. That's where we have one of the higher rates in Western Europe for late diagnosis. That's where testing took place at a certain point and we realized it could have taken place a year or more earlier. And the health outcomes for the person would have been better. So there's a real urgency, you might say, and needs there. We have the testing in place. There's amazing treatment available, but it's about bridging some of those gaps for those 1,000 people. So up till about maybe 3-4 years ago, the model of testing was very much expecting people to go to testing. Where can I go to test? And what will it mean for me to go to a hospital or a clinic? What we're doing now more so in with a range of NGOs and the HSC as well is bringing testing to people. So where are people and where can we bring testing to them? Because the HIV test is as simple as 60 seconds. It's a finger prick test, and within 60 seconds, you have the result. In the past, you might have to wait days or weeks nervously wondering what the results might be. Now it's right there. So with that rapid test, we can bring testing to people. And one of our briefs is to bring testing to faith communities and to look for how can we bring both the messaging of how HIV has changed, both the story of integration, and as Christians coming to churches in particular to open our Bibles and think a bit about what some of these themes mean for us all, and at the same time bring the test itself as well.
That's great work ASSET are doing, involving those free, confidential and rapid HIV tests amongst faith communities around the country. Thank you so much. And HIV treatment has developed and it can be really effective. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It is effective. It's a very different story. As I said, in 1992, we started out and there was some treatment, but it was merely a little bit of management. It wasn't really doing much. In 1995, a change started to happen that meant that people were not dying quite as much. But in the last few years, the last few decade or so, we've really seen it become as simple as one pill a day. And that treatment has made a massive difference. And it means that people's lives are thriving. So rather than viewing the person living with HIV as a person with a death sentence or a person who is sick and all that might mean, rather we're seeing individuals around Ireland living with HIV who are thriving in the various roles they live in life.
And talk to us about the importance of churches across the country in engaging with society's challenges.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much I could say about that. I guess the starting point is to take apart a bit of the them and us mindsets that you were highlighting there, and to start with the fact that it's not so much about how can we go to people who are living with HIV as the church, but rather start from our churches are spaces where there are people living with HIV. And so if we start from there, we reflect a little bit on what we are as church, and how we are welcoming to one another and the richness of the one anothering of the New Testament. All of that comes to the fore, and its importance and its challenge comes before us. But even more than that, then when we think maybe outside, we also think about all these broader themes that I've mentioned today about integration, about really being both hospitable to the other and being vulnerable to the other's hospitality as well.
Yeah.
And that can be a challenge sometimes for churches, but it's something that we really encourage, and we really believe, you know, as churches, there's a real living resourcing there. You know, I've mentioned the New Testament, and the story of the Bible is one of all of these things really coming alive.
Yeah.
This connecting with one another, this thriving in life, this overcoming of them and us boundaries and barriers. If the things of Jesus are not about this, then what are they about?
It's great that you highlighted the importance thereof, exactly those gospel themes of connection, hospitality, true integration. This really is living that out in practice. Now, how can people find out more information about your work, Richard?
Yeah, the easiest thing is to go to our website. It's simply acet.ie. And there's a load of stuff there about the work that we do, including contact details where they can email us as well. I've also put up this morning the question, where can I test for HIV? And so there's a link there that will bring you through to our friends at HIV Ireland who have a testing locator. And whether you live in a large city in Ireland or a smaller village, there's a map of the islands there and links to various places and opening times where testing is, both testing that one might go to and testing that might come to you as well. And also, of course, our own contact details are there. We're eager to hear from churches who we would love to, and church leaders who we'd love to walk alongside with some of these challenges.
Richard Carson, CEO of AIDS Care Education and Training Ireland, asset especially on World AIDS Day. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning. Really appreciate that. The website acet.ie for more information. Do check it out. Thanks so much, Richard Carson.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.